Now, at 6 minutes past eight, John S. Doyle is back to tell us what it says in today's papers.
The outcome of the Taoiseach's meeting with Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky yesterday gives the Irish Examiner its lead story. Paul Hosford reports that Ireland is to fund directly the feeding of Ukrainian schoolchildren and body recovery drones, after being frustrated by efforts to assist at a European level. He says the government was previously blocked from donating through the European Union by Hungary's veto of the European peace mechanism. Micheál Martin described it as a warm meeting at Shannon Airport, and the warmth between the two men seems clear too from the Irish Times front page photograph by Noel Sweeney. The Times reports Mr. Martin is saying, after he met President Zelensky, that Ireland will push very strongly for Ukraine's early entry into the European Union. Looking ahead to today's meeting in Washington between Ukraine's president and the US president, the Irish Independent in an editorial says all would embrace an end to the killing in Russia's war on Ukraine. But a sleight-of-hand side deal imposed over the heads of stakeholders won't cut it. Putin must not be rewarded by the US for his war on Ukraine. In the Times' main story, Arthur Beasley reports that a leading Department of Finance official has questioned government plans to ban goods from illegal Israeli settlements, warning of potential fallout for Ireland's economy. The concerns were expressed by John McCarthy, chief economist in the Department of Finance. A person described as a close observer of discussions within government is quoted as saying that Mr. McCarthy is known for direct language. He is not shy about voicing an opinion. The Independent leads with the report that only 175 sanctions have been imposed on landlords who breached rent pressure zone rules since an investigations unit was set up at the Residential Tenancies Board 6 years ago. Over the years, the board has been accused of not being tough enough on rogue landlords overcharging, the paper says. The government has been warned that a choice must be made between cheaper public transport fares and capital projects such as the Dublin Metro, Dart Plus, Lewis, Finglas and Bus Connects, the Irish Daily Mail reports. The warning comes in a briefing note prepared by officials for Public Expenditure Minister Jack Chambers. The esteem in which the actor Gene Hackman was held is reflected in the amount of coverage given to his death, with his wife, the classical pianist Betsy Arakawa, at their home in New Mexico, and there is much speculation in the papers about how they died, notably in the Irish Sun and the Mail. The Independent quotes a detective in Santa Fe as saying there were no obvious signs of a gas leak, but that people exposed to gas leaks or carbon monoxide might not show signs of poisoning. Donald Clark in the Times sums up Gene Hackman's career well. He never gave a bad performance. Paul Whittington in The Independent describes him as a screen legend and says if Hackman was in a scene, you always looked at him. An Irishman's Diary in The Times is devoted to the lexicographer Father Patrick Dineen, whose Irish-English dictionary, first published in 1904, was cited by the Taoiseach in the Dáil recently as the ultimate authority on the Irish language. Frank McNally reports that Father Dineen was a fixture at the National Library, where he was the first reader to arrive every morning and always sat at the same desk. In late autumn, though, he migrated to the Royal Irish Academy on nearby Dawson Street. There, McNally says, quoting a profile of Dineen in the Times in 1959, he was in the habit of sitting over the fire with his trousers folded up to the knees, revealing the white woollen stockings that that redoubtable Irish-speaking Protestant lady from Kerry, the Honourable Albinia Broderick, knitted him for 30 years.
John S. Doyle.